Then, without further ado, can I introduce our first guest speaker, Pamela Nash. She's the MP for Airdrie and Shotts. She's the Parliamentary Private Secretary to Shadow Secretary of State, a member of the Science and Technology Select Committee, Scottish Affairs Committee, the chair of the all-party parliamentary group of HIV/AIDS, and doing all that while the baby of the house, who she was elected in 2010. So she's already making fair inroads into Parliament in Westminster and her reputation. So without further ado, can I welcome you, Pamela? You're very welcome.
And I do find a little bit of time to be a normal 27-year-old every so often as well as all those jobs. I have to say, this is a lovely place to have a CLP meeting. Our AGMs in Airdrie are usually in a cold, damp community centre in deepest, darkest Lanarkshire. We don't have them in nice hotels like this, so thanks very much for inviting me. I have to say, on the short trip that I had from the airport to the hotel, I couldn't help but notice the posters up for the commemoration of Titanic. I can see that Belfast is really making the most of it. Although I have to say that outside of Belfast, a lot of us are struggling to see what there is to celebrate. Although I'm repeatedly assured by my friends that the ship was perfectly fine when it left Belfast. But I'm certain that many people will take the opportunity to come and visit your city here in this year, the Titanic centenary, and I'm really looking forward to going to visit the visitor centre when it opens later this month. Before I go any further, I must take the opportunity to congratulate your new chair, Kevin, and all your new office bearers who I know are going to get the best out of each of you and take the Northern Ireland CLP forward over the coming year. I'd also like to highlight the tireless work of your Secretary Boyd in the creation of this CLP and his work with the outgoing Chair Kenny, who I know is left for the afternoon, and the work with each of you to develop the CLP to what it is today, a thriving group with a vastly growing membership. These achievements are recognised on both sides of the Irish Sea. And I want to thank you, our Labour Party members, for the work that you do and for inviting me here today to address your AGM. Our Shadow Secretary of State, Vernon Coker, is sorry that he can't be here today, and he's asked me to send his best wishes to you for a successful day and indeed a successful year ahead. I know that he's already enjoyed meeting you since he got a little promotion, and I know that he'll meet you again in the near future. It's a great honour for me to be part of the Shadow Northern Ireland team in Westminster, and I only wish that I could spend much more time over here. One event I did attend recently was in Stormont. It wasn't with politicians, but it was with the young people of Northern Ireland. Young people who were receiving the Pride of Northern Ireland Awards. I'm getting signals, can you hear me at the back? Testing. Is that a bit better? Sorted. So yes, I was at Stormont for the Pride of Northern Ireland Awards with some of the young people in Northern Ireland. I have to say, it was brilliant to see Stormont decked out like a nightclub for the evening. I know a lot of you have heard some stories about Westminster bars recently. I'm telling you right now, it's nothing on that night out. But in all seriousness, the young people of Northern Ireland did themselves proud that night. They thoroughly deserved the evening that was put on for them. These teenagers came from across the region, from across different backgrounds, and had made a real contribution to their families, their schools and their local communities. Many of them had achieved great things despite getting a less than perfect start in life. They received due recognition and reward for it. Every single person in this room wants to see kids like this getting on in life. So how tragic is it then that under this Tory-led government we are so quickly back to so many young people condemned to leaving school to no education, employment or training. Ed Miliband visited my constituency, Airdrie and Shorts, recently, and he was told there by a local man that he'd always told his kids to stick in at school, that it'd be worth it in the end, that there was a good job waiting for them. I'm sure most of the people in this room, I can remember their parents telling them the same thing, and those of you who have kids have told them the same. But what he said is that now he doesn't know what to tell them. There are no jobs at the end. All of us know the potential disastrous consequences and lack of hope and aspiration when joblessness like this is left to linger, particularly amongst our young people. How can this government allow this generation to be the first to prosper less than their parents did? I can remember the horror of the 80s as much as anyone. My mum struggled to bring me up on her own, with the stigma attached to single mums at the time and the lack of support that was available from the Tory government. My family were certainly not well off, but under a Labour government, like millions of other families, I watched their quality of life improve as I grew up in Scotland. Stigmas were challenged. Those in low incomes benefited from a national minimum wage and tax credits. Pensioners were lifted out of poverty and given extra support fitting to the contribution they've made to society. But now we're back to escalating unemployment. Young families and pensioners choosing between heating and eating. This is not a price worth paying. On the economy, jobs, tax and welfare reform, it's the same sorry story for hundreds of thousands of people here in Northern Ireland as it is in the rest of the United Kingdom. The Tory-led government are cutting too far and too fast, leading to a flatlining economy and a really difficult time for many families. These big issues are affecting everyone, be it in Coatbridge, Belfast, Cardiff or Birmingham. But you and I know that Northern Ireland is being particularly badly hit. It is these big issues, youth unemployment, welfare reform, that we in the Labour Party are continually holding the government to account on. Of course, policing and security are always at the forefront of our minds, but not at the expense of the other important and pressing issues here in Northern Ireland. We need to ensure fairness in tough times. In Westminster, decisions are taken which directly affect people here and the ability of the devolved administration to act. It is essential that politicians in Westminster remain focused on a responsibility to support the devolved administration here and the implementation of the agreements made between the governments and the political parties over the last decade that have been the stepping stones to peace. The Labour Party in opposition are still striving to maintain a bipartisan approach to Northern Ireland back in Westminster. However, when we think they are wrong and that they're not serving the interests of the people here, we are not afraid to say so. Vernon has pressed and will continue to urge the Secretary of State to join him in standing up for Northern Ireland and challenging those cuts that go too far. We in the Labour Party speak up for the peace and progress. Mike's went off again. I can check. Can you hear me at the back? If I speak up.
I was hearing you splendidly. Your mic was working, but it seems to be dodgy.
Get there, get your mic.
It's a slot system. Paddy McGuigan's gone with some change to it.
Okay, so someone's put some money in the meter, so we're all right. I've only got a couple of minutes to go. As I said, we in the Labour Party have spoken up for peace and progress. And as the party and government who helped bring about the Good Friday Agreement and all that has flowed from it since, we will continue to stand up for fairness in tough times. The progress of the peace process here is a beacon to the world. In fact, we're now exporting conflict resolution experts to those most in need. However, there is a danger in Westminster that the political focus has far too prematurely moved on. We need to continue to work on maintaining peace here in a way that's appropriate to the devolved settlement. And while applauding that continued progress, we still need to understand the threat which remains and recognise these special circumstances that still exist. The people and politicians of Northern Ireland are still wrestling with the consequences of the past as they move forward. And this is no time for us to fail to give them a priority that they both demand and deserve. We can never be complacent about the progress made, because we all know that the job is not yet done. We must remain steadfast in our opposition to the grim determination of a handful of irreconcilable groups who have no support, no ideas, and no future, but who nonetheless remain a threat to the stability and progress here. This tiny minority who continue to commit violent acts and attempt to damage the peace process have no right to claim to speak for the people of Northern Ireland. I and the Labour Party will try our best to meet the challenges of supporting the peace process, standing up for Northern Ireland, and helping to build the shared future and prosperity its people deserve. Under Ed Miliband's leadership, we will hold the Tory-led government to the promises that were made to help deliver a real peace for Northern Ireland. And of course, Labour Party members here will play a vital part in that. The National Executive Committee have outlined a process to look at how the party here has developed and what future arrangements might look like. I know that Vernon is already involved in facilitating that, and the discussions have taken place between you and the party. I can't predict what the outcome of that process will be or when it will be completed, and it's definitely above my pay grade to try. But what I can say is that Vernon, I, and so many others in the Labour Party value the work that's been done here, and we're here to listen. I know how much your party membership means to you. We've all taken this leap for different reasons. For me, I simply wanted to make the world a better place than that which I inherited. The house that I grew up in and still live in is less than a mile from where Keir Hardie was born, the great man who founded our movement and had the inaugural conference of the Labour Party here in Belfast in 1907. His progressive thinking, his vision for improved working conditions, universal suffrage and fairness for all globally are the ideals we are still striving for today as members of the Labour Party. I look forward to working with each of you to achieve this in the months and years to come. Thank you very much.
Can I just thank Pamela on behalf of you all and explain that she has to leave fairly quick. I am assured that it's not because she wants a seat beside a big screen watching the Ireland-Scotland match. There are other pressing issues, but Tweet will find the truth on that one.
Well, but I did say, I was on the flight this morning and there's a lot of kilts. I don't know if they were true Scotsmen or not, but I'll go to the pub and find out.
Pamela, thanks very much.
Thank you.